So we're a small, intimate group today. So I think we can keep it really casual and just a conversation about the work and a chance to talk with you a little bit more about it. And so, of course, everybody, please ask questions and talk when you'd like to. But I just wanted to thank you, Ite, for coming down and for making the work for us. And I'm really, I was really pleased last night that it just worked out amazingly. And yeah, I hope you're pleased with it too, because it's really strong work, I thought, despite the smell that we're all sitting in. So, for those of you who don't, most people would maybe know a little bit about your background, but this is an introduction. Ite graduated in 2010 from AUT and is currently undertaking a master's at the same university, and has been in quite a few different shows now, and performance, arcade, and different kinds of things that maybe you'll talk a little bit more about, some of that stuff. But I thought maybe we could just start about talking about the performance from last night. And since Sarah didn't see it, maybe we can collectively describe what happened. Does anyone want to start with talking about it? Do you want to describe the performance last night?
Yep, sure. So it began, Ite began at the entry side of the room, and worked sort of along the space across the soil, sort of pulling and working back from this rope that was bolted to the floor in the concrete, and sort of taking time and taking time to pause and sort of work with the material, which is this compost that's been dispersed across several sheets of tarp, blue tarp. And Ite worked along the rope until we got to the end, sort of taking his time to work backwards towards the start again, and kind of moving with the material in different ways. Like at times, Ite like kind of produced tension in the work by pulling on the rope, also sort of like shaking it, almost like in reference to this idea of, I'm not supposed to do it. And are we doing the style of crutch?
Yeah, that's
okay.
Good.
So shaking the rope. Yeah, and working back towards a starting point. That's enough.
And there was the one moment when, at the end of the rope, kind of like really leaned into the soil, and it created quite an interesting image when you came back up, and it was all on your forehead, and kind of it's got a strong, powerful image of kind of just face planting into the compost.
Mm. You did that sort of a couple of times, didn't you? Sort of like bowed down.
Also, the coat, like the costuming was like black singlet, black shorts, and hessian wraparound.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Audrey.
So that describes the performance for you. Do you get a sense of what it was like? It was quite tense, and the audio from Peter Waring's work next door kind of was at times quite audible, and it's kind of the streetscape. So instead of it being, it really placed it within a more of an urban context, I think. It made it feel quite part of the city, a response to the city. How did you feel about it last night? Did you want to add anything?
I think it's good. Who do you want me to start with?
I don't know. I think we should just maybe
move it tomorrow.
Yeah, but it was good to have the description.
Sorry, I was stuck in the description. I wanted to go into like the interpretive, like the symbolism. But
part
of it is to just talk
to the work. Well, the work also kind of references Maui. Yeah, Maui is like a demigod of the Pacific Ocean, and he's a leader and also a legend of myths of the Pacific. Yeah, so I kind of reference also Maui as him pulling the North Island. But not, so when I work from the front, there's the front of like kind of like from the north coming towards to canoe. And that's, you know, it's kind of like a solid ground for where I, yeah, for where I'm traveling in. But also coming all the way down to the south and kind of, and just making my way with the river, it's also a reference of the biblical record as a new birth as well. So in all the, like, all the movements and all tensions, it references to what had happened in Christchurch. And also, like, not only what Christchurch, but also elsewhere, that there is global warming, that there's the issue of global warming. And that's, yeah, but we'll get back into it. Sorry.
No, it's
interesting. How did you feel
in the performance? Like, did it go
like
how you planned it to?
My performance is, because I came with an idea or something, a different idea, but just thinking outside of the space. So when I came to the space, then I kind of realized I had to change the idea that was, the idea that I had outside of the space was different, a bit different, but it would still reference the living, the living, and also getting rid of all of them. Yeah, but when I came and I started realizing the architecture, and especially like when I was on top of the plane, landing, and I kind of like, you know, seeing all like trails and all rivers and everything that I saw when I was on the plane, I was like, when I came to see the space, I had to kind of think of another way of making that space and having also allow for myself, my practice. I really love simplicity. But is for me the important thing is how am I going to deliver a simple message?
How much do you think about the image making aspect of it? Like, now we've got this installation that's left over, and it's quite it really works with the space really well, I think, with the tub taking over kind of in proportion to the architecture itself. And when you walk in, the first thing you see is you see the rope coming up out of the tub and all this dirt, and of course we still have the stench of the compost. How much did you think about the installation and the image that would remain, and also the image kind of that you made as you were performing? Is it more about the performance, or is it also somehow about that lingering image for people?
It's both the performance and the image comes after. Because the performance is the body, and it's... Because sometimes I kind of say, I'm a tool. Every single object has a connection. So when I was thinking of the bolt as the fish hook, but not only the fish hook, but the bolt of every architecture that's around here, everything connects as well. So that's not only that, but because it's steel or metal, the bolt, and that represents future, because everyone is working with the bolts and nuts and also like the image of having all the soil and the blue. I like because the reference is water, sea, ocean, and also the soil. The soil is being grounded. For me, it's being grounded, but not only that, but also represents the fenwa. And listens to Fenua, and the rope represents a spiritual gift or a knowledge gifted to you. So I kind of like, the way I perform the actions and is making my way from down there back to the coming all the way to the end of the rope, but then also making myself back to it. it's kind of, and then just disappearing and leaving it for whoever's in the space to, yeah.
So are you moving forward and then backwards?
Yeah.
And it was kind of, it was really hot, and so your tongue was quite sweaty, and kind of, there was quite a lot of, like when you were pulling it, you were really kind of, it was quite tense. It was hard work, but like you were getting tired out. With the simplicity side of things, like, do you go through a lot of ideas and then throw a lot of things away to get to the one idea that really works, or how do you kind of, what's the process behind it?
Well, for me, an idea is worth more than money. So when you chuck an idea, if you're thinking of chucking an idea, don't chuck it away. You chuck it and put it somewhere that next time you got some, that, or you know, when you got another show or something, that idea can just be twitted or kind of, you know, move into that space. So that's an idea for me. Yeah, an idea is very important.
So you have like a library of ideas or project thoughts that you might kind of, when the situation comes, you'll pull that in and you think, And I guess you had quite a long time to think about this project, like ahead of being here, and you had to respond really quickly once you were here, but actually you had a bit of lead-in time to think about Christchurch and to...
It's an uncanny resemblance. When you started talking about the view from the plane coming over, and Marilyn talked about image making, like whether it's kind of conscious or part of, or it's like an outcome of the materials, the performance. Like, I thought about how, like, Christchurch has like these two rivers that move through it, and everything else is quite gridded, the planes, but also like the Christchurch, like, is like the soil that is kind of brought from the winds across the plains, like is part of shaping those hills, and like that sort of topsoil idea is kind of there for me as well. But sitting loosely on this more kind of like water-based, like the aquifers that move underneath the ground that bring water from the mountains, I think it's sort of like this unusual relationship to landscape. Or like landscape and Canterbury's problem.
It's quite amazing how being in Christchurch, like, I'm very sick of kind of earthquake references and earthquake art, but with your approach is so different to how everybody else has done it. It's so much about empathy with the people and what happened, and kind of being really generous around that, that actually the earthquakeness doesn't bother me. What do you fellow Christchurch people think?
Yeah, well, it was bigger than just that event. It's like,
yeah,
it felt like a bigger story and it had wider references. And it wasn't just another.
Also tapping into, you know, the legend of Maui, it's that idea of geology and just such a different sense of time as well.
It's not just earthquakes.
Yeah, which is, it's kind of interesting to combine that with the tarp, which is such a kind of temporary material. It's quite, you know, you use it because you need it. It's not lasting. And also compost. It's not, I don't know, I always think of it as the thing like the thing you put on the top of your garden and you have to kind of help it along, but it's not. And so, yeah, it does have that connection to whenua, but it's also quite nurturing rather than being
of the land. And also of regeneration, like something that's rotted and decomposed and has now become useful.
It's already been processed.
It's already been processed as part of a cycle, kind of, so that's quite different.
So you've got, really different cycles of time.
Yeah.
I also really like, to me it kind of smells a bit like silage as well, and just that kind of, those references to like the flatness of the tarps and the flatness of the plains and the dairy industry down here, and that kind of process nature making dough is a very like, I think it was quite a reads well to keep doing.
Yeah.
Even the tarp and that.
Yeah.
The smell is so important to it, eh? Like, and it's such an effective way to let the performance linger.
Yeah.
The first
next time I met Ite, I went to a Simple Street gallery, like little performance thing, and I was keeping an eye out. I'd Google image search so I knew what he looked like. But I was like, oh yeah, there he is. I wonder what the performance is. And then I kind of smelt this like overpowering kind of masculine like scent. I was like, what is that? And I got a bit closer and I was like, there's a lot of aftershave. But then this is actually the performance where a whole can of links have been poured into the jar and you were slowly releasing the smell. So it smells something that's always a part of your work, isn't it? Or often.
Yeah, I like you know, the things that connect with our bodies, and so I like to play with senses, five senses, smell and touch. I really like to kind of manipulate the senses in performances, because that is really also a really important part for my performance.
I think we still get surprised at having scent in the gallery spaces. So it is amazing the effect it can have.
Definitely, and especially because I know that it's all people, like, because Crusher Duck goes opening tonight and there's so many like fancy people in town and they're all coming here and they're all smelling the stench. I really love it. Perfect timing. Because in the bigger museums you could never do it to Papa Say because of the bugs that would happen.
Or we'd probably freeze the compost first or something like
that. We'd have it in a container. Do you want to talk to us a little bit about some of your other works?
My first work I've ever started was, I started in 2011, and the first project was Pigs in the Yard. And Pigs in the Yard was referencing culture, and I needed not only the culture in Tonga, but also, because in Tonga we set pigs free, and that's really important for us, because, and it's not only that, but also in gender, male. If you don't have a pig, you're not a man. So that becomes, that is kind of like, that is something that we have to tender and have to have as pigs. And it serves in a lot of big ceremonies and everything that we do, there's supposed to be pigs on the table, pigs everywhere, on pigs, So when I come here, then I see in New Zealand, how pigs are all caged up and but I went and did my research in a pig farm, and I was just kind of like inside the pig, the hut, the place where they sleep, and then kind of just trying to cohabit its space, but not only that, but also trying to mimic and trying to get to understand them, and just seeing, how it's so beautiful just to see this, see the pig itself, right? How intelligent and how, But, it kind of references my culture, also the culture in New Zealand. Also, from there, I did another piece, which was in 2012, that was Moitu Kausea. And that one was, being homeless, staying homeless in Paparama. But that work was, for me, that work wasn't really about physically homeless people. It was mainly the mind. When we think about it, there is something inside us that we still put inside and our own emotions, and we kind of miss our homes when we're traveling, or we miss our parents, or we miss our family. And that kind of for me, that kind of looked as in, it's homeless. And also just through past experiences of my life, growing up in South Auckland, it's kind of just experimenting things through life. But also I started to see it in that way as well, being homeless. And and for that work, which was led into Walter's Price. And also from that work I had, I have a couple of works that we perform at Arcade, and one of the work was Stowaway, And there was about my uncles and my family, that some of them that kind of jumped the ship and made their way into New Zealand. So it's kind of looking at issues in there. But then when I look at those issues, then how do I see that stowaway? So I kind of, because it was in a container, and in the container, but I blocked up half space. So I turned the container as a body, and then me, myself in there, it's like my soul, it's my spirit. And then people coming in, it's like having friends coming in, and then they're gone. And it's kind of like then you're still stowing away all your emotions and everything that becomes who you are. Then that's a stowaway. And just referencing my family, how they died as well. So from stowaway, that was also a work with Wiyakfono is when radio broadcasting. And one of the other work was at Guy's Fisher in Auckland, where I stood up and right on, because it's a, have you guys seen Guy's Fisher? Yeah, I was up right on the top where that antenna there was. And that project kind of like, I was calling out, inviting everyone in to come and celebrate the art. But from there, a lot of people thought, on that time, I called in also the police. So that's another part of my performance as well, when the police turned up.
You called the police?
The people around, yes, the suicidal guy is going to jump off the aerial.
Yeah. I was working at the at the time. But
yeah, there were the cops in there, and that was my ending, the cops turned up, So that also, my performance also kind of brings in the whole community, not only just but also police and all the government there. And also other works I've been to, Rarotonga. Rarotonga is just a circle kind of island. So I walk with a sack of sand, just carrying the whole sack of sand, but when my sand is, it's like an hourglass. So it's kind of like, walking around, just trickling around the whole roads, enjoying. That was in reference of, the one with the Mexican artist, the one with the can.
Oh yeah, Francis.
So that's kind of like, also, referencing him. And through that, I walked around, but I didn't make it on my own. I got picked up from every single local. They picked me up and they were all traveling. So I didn't make it on foot. I got picked up and we all. So that was part of it. And so a few other stuff like down at the Saru in Auckland, had a box of a coffin, in which I did the sound of like a brass band they're playing, the farewell of the dead body. But my reference was when it was during the tsunami time, and it's just because down in the Salo, the sea from there opens out to the South Pacific, seas and everything. So from there, but just kind of like, just marching through and just putting it where the Salo was underneath the big bell in the Salo. And then from there, a couple of hours, and then walk back. It's kind of like, just walking with time and walking back. And then another work, am I talking too much?
No, it's okay. Great.
Sorry. Then other work was the one in, was last year. It was down at the Oriental Bay. And that one was Hongo Mimwana. Hongo Mimwana is the sound from the deep ocean of the South Pacific. But also, not only that, but it opens up to every single, everyone is united through the waters of the South Pacific. So everyone becomes in unity. We're not, because I was, and there was, I was like, just dancing and just kind of, so that was from 6 hours to 6 hours, like high tide to low tide and low tide to high tide, kind of, we'll stop there. So most of my work is it's more to respond and also to connect and also to build a relationship with people that that I come across. Because sometimes I would it's making the work but not kind of giving out too much, but making the viewers and that to come and actually conversate with them instead of telling them everything, but I want them to build that relationship.
It's like so much community art really kind of defines the community that it wants to be for, and it's it always tries to be kind of friendly and happy and engaging, whereas you kind of just, you exist within a community and then that kind of connects back with you, and you connect more with the invisible elements in a way that, that we don't see and think about. It's far nicer. Or more real, something that forms real relationships. I guess you also push the boundaries a bit, eh, of like what's possible. It was quite the Walters Prize. Like there was a lot of discussion about that, wasn't there, from people who said, I mean, you would have read a lot of the kind of reviews and.
It was interesting your first comment about that work when you were explaining to us was that it wasn't about the homeless community. It wasn't about. How did you put it? It wasn't about
the physical, homeless, like in the homeless.
As an idea or as an object, or like as a group of people, but more this like idea of homelessness and what it means in a broader sense, and in an interior sense. Whereas I think the media kind of captured that narrative you were saying to me yesterday, and it kind of really shaped the interpretation of the work in quite a in quite a singular kind of way. I think those ideas are so important. When you were doing the work, did you create limitations around, like you're saying, in terms of talking to people while you're doing a performance work? Like if someone saw you and wanted to talk to you from the art community, did you talk to them?
Yeah. I will talk to anyone.
About the work? Yeah.
Because that's creating that conversation.
Yeah.
Because when you limit it, you don't talk to anyone. There's no understanding, so because that's what I I mostly talked to everyone, and when I first day, I made sure I had to talk to the homeless people first, so they can welcome me and I can respect what they have. So I'm here just to come and do something, or not even say anything, Why is this? It's not real. I just say it's not real.
How do they feel about it?
They loved it. I got that whole engagement with them,
because there's quite a few that live in Albert Park, right? Just around there.
But they all got moved at the time. And when I was there, I didn't feel secure. So when they moved, I made sure I moved as well.
Right.
So I'm not going to be so special or anything. Mm. No, there's nothing like that for me. So.
Wait, did the police move them on or something? Or?
Yeah, the police would come and wake us up at 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock in the morning before the cafes and they were open. So that piece, there is no time. Time becomes temporality. Time is when the bus, first thing in the morning, you hear cleaners, and that's where my time is. So clock time was no use.
Yeah.
I gave my clock when I left my house to my wife. Yeah, hold this while I...
And for 3 months.
Yeah.
That's a huge commitment. It's like a huge commitment of life. Mm.
Yeah.
It's
the same with that as well. It came in really, I guess, but it was framed in a way because there were all these outside things going on in Auckland with Len Brown passing these bylaws around homelessness in the streets and things, and he's trying to push it off. And I know an art gallery has stuff where they will, if you're sort of in that area, they will move you on. So I guess there is that difficulty where people do want to use it because there is things going on, and they want to tap into that, and it became useful to use your work to do that. And it definitely seemed like it got the most attention out of all the pieces for it.
That was really a good opportunity. Everything's a good opportunity, sorry. it gave me that chance to actually see what happens in between. the artists and and then people that's like the art making. So yeah, I kind of see then you start because my idea for that work was I wanted to move from different locations but giving the audience a map to come and find me instead of, you know, but they kind of gave me a strict thing that I wasn't allowed to leave the premises at all.
Of the art gallery?
The art gallery, normally. So that kind of limits my, limitations comes there. And then, because, you know, I wanted to move around so, you know, so when people come, where's this guy? Where, like, you know?
Mm.
And, well, they can find me at this time and this place.
But that didn't work out. They just
no.
So how many people did? So, but you, I mean, I remember when I visited, I didn't see you. So, how did you work with that parameter of needing to stick around the gallery, or during the day? Did you just
see the art gallery became my safe zone.
Okay.
It became like the mission for me. It became my safe place to come and sleep and come here.
Mm-hmm.
So during like the other times I'm around, I'm actually moving around,
mm-hmm.
or just being around like the premises of the art. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Charge your cell phone and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I use all their PowerPoints and all their.
And do you keep in touch with any of the homeless people you met while you were doing it?
Yeah, only a few that I saw that were still there. I still keep in touch with them. So when I'm back in town, I usually just meet up and
they recognize you and
give me something. They're the one that kind of helped me to survive the streets and teach me all the little tricks and trades of things.
Yeah.
There was a lot of training. There was a lot of training that a lot of people didn't know that. Yeah. Yeah. Because I got food from people who did paint like that. But their food was about sharing the art. Because outside when we move out the gallery, there's also homeless people that are around. So I couldn't hold a piece of bread to myself. I had to kind of, so we can all eat together.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started learning their lifestyle and adapted into their,
Got any good tricks? What were their trade things like there?
The trade stuff was socks and blankets and also bubblegum, chewing gum, and that's enough.
At the start, you talked about how when you first came to Christchurch for this project, you had another idea in mind.
Yes.
Are you, would you mind sharing that with us? Or?
I don't mind. The idea I came with from Auckland was having balloons. And the balloons also, I wanted to kind of, because I wanted to connect with all the community. Because the balloon, and also having a bit of sand or a bit of soil inside the balloon, and for people to blow the balloon. And it's like giving a breath, it's a living breath, and also like that, but it's because the balloon is the world, and not only the world, and it's a transient, or just, it's like when you let the balloons go up to the skies and then it becomes a whole message and that's the God stuff there. So but for me to actually pop the balloons, walking around and pop the balloons, I see that sometimes natural disasters are there, but sometimes us as humankind as well, we kind of add to it as well. So it's kind of like, so that was a bit of like,
when you talked at the beginning about the connection of the rope and also Christianity, What aura is an umbilical cord? What do you mean? Is like a kind of constant or support system or what?
The rope tie connects you to the mother and it connects you to the body. So that's once you're cut off, you know, and that's the separation of the new birth, the baby has come out. And yeah, so that was the idea, but also the rope also represents, you know, you're pulling, trying to pull opportunities, you're pulling and you're struggling, but you're still pulling opportunities home, and you know, you're not going to give up until, yeah. Even if you can't pull it up, but you're still going to keep going.
So in the performance, you didn't let go of it. Like when you got to the end, was that when you were kind of leaning in to its like maximum and then reaching the soil again?
Kind of flicking at it as well.
Mm-hmm. I kind of found that flicking was some kind of like transmission or like a wavelength or something, and that kind of communication part of it. Is that you're kind of like building the narrative through the rope and like the kind of watching its forms like travel across it and stuff like that?
You're pulling in, and when I was hitting the rope, it was kind of like that ripple of the earthquake or something else. Yeah.
Any other questions?
Yeah.
Thank you. It's nice how it's relaxed into this now as well, which is
it. It becomes that view from the earthquake.
Do you want to tell us a little bit, Ita, about what are you doing next? Yeah. What are you going to do for your next 2 weeks in Christchurch? And then for the rest of the year?
Well, I'll be pulling up my calendar and spending more time with my family and Sekona and kids. Yeah, so. Yeah, because Segundo was, he was my, he helped me out with my first show in Pigs in the Yard. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was my, hemahe.
Yes, right.
Yeah. So, and we also moved into, to performance arcade in the city. We took, Pigs in the Yard. So it's been quite a long time that we haven't caught up. So,
uh-huh.
Yeah, so I'm pretty happy to be here and just, catching up.
And then you got a couple of art projects, right?
And all the art projects, yeah, just kind of like, just typing in, just because I've been back to also to study and also like, from here on was just planning and just doing more research into more of learning Christchurch, but also, doing a little bit more research into what my year is going to be as well. And so next project will be in Wellington, and that's for performance arcade. And that work is in a container as well. And that work, the idea of that work is a sound from inside you coming, like so, but also the sound that's surrounding the whole waterfront of Wellington. So yeah, so you guys are keen to come in.
And then you're in the Berlin Biennale, which is quite fancy.
So I've met up with one of the creators from Berlin today, and that time was one of my final shows for my end of year work was Mama Daimi. Mama Daimi is wasting time, and sometimes you know people see saving time. You know, it's what is art? Is art waste of time? Are we wasting our time in art? So, kind of like, yeah, kind of, but for me, as an artist, for you guys as well, you know, we people see us wasting time, but for us, we're not wasting time. Because we're here to share our time and to kind of be in that space. And, yeah, so, yeah, they've asked me to have that work. And, yes, politics of sharing or public sharing, that's happening in Berlin.
How long do you go for to waste time?
Ah, Yeah, that will be for a month and a half. Yeah. So
6 weeks of wasted time.
Yeah. But it's a good well wasted time. Yeah.
Does anyone else have any other questions? Curious about? So then let's just talk a little bit more about your work and hear from you. That's, thank you.
Yeah, I guess maybe just one. I've been having this recurring thought during the talk and while you were describing things, and it's kind of like a physics room link back to when I lived in Christchurch and a project that Ruth Watson did, a completely different sort of project, but there's some sort of connection with that aerial view. What you saw in the exhibition was a dress made of parachute silk, but it was printed with aerial views of, I don't know if it was Christchurch, but it was referencing, kind of rescue parachutes and things. And then so you had the topography of the land, the connection to the body, and this room kind of connected back. And
there's also like a weird typography that's happened on the floor maybe since the earthquakes with all the cracks. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like it's sort of changed, like it's somehow imprinted the earthquake into like the history of the space, which is kind of nice. Mm-hmm. It feels quite active. Thanks, E.T., for talking on this. Off the hook now. Off the clock. Off the clock.